Hello, gorgeous, gorgeous girls, and welcome back to another episode of Girlfriends. I'm Lindsay, and today I'm joined by Kristen from Don't Fuck With The Original podcast. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty great. How are you?
Yeah, I'm really good, thanks. Storm Aisha is blown a hoolie, as we'd say in Scotland. So if you hear any weird background noises, there's 60 mile wind, 60 mile per hour winds happening at the moment, so please forgive me while we record during a storm. So today is quite exciting because we are going to be talking about paranormal activity. And Kristen, you told me in the DMs that this is like your top two film of all time, which made me a bit nervous, honestly.
Well, it's my second favorite found footage film, but still one of my favorite horror movies for sure. I have watched, it's one of my comforts. I watch it, and it's one of those movies where I can put it on the background if I want to be on my phone type of movies where I just kind of want something on in the background. I have been obsessed with that movie for a very long time, pretty much since I first saw it around the second or third year it had come out. And I think it's just, I think it's brilliant. I think it's absolutely just one of the best found footage because, Blair Witch was probably, that's my favorite found footage film. That one came out, really set the precipice for found footage films. And I feel like, that came out in 99, Paranormal Activity came out in 2007. So about 8 years later. But I feel like Paranormal Activity really set the bar again for found footage because found footage is very hit or miss. So.
Hard to agree. Like, I'm even with myself watching a found footage, I either love it or I hate it. And it definitely gave the genre like a proper like shot of adrenaline to the heart, because I feel like, Blair Witch came out and then it had all its like copiers, and then Paranormal Activity came out, and it was so like quiet and eerie, and the anticipation of it all, it just really like revitalized the genre. And yeah, there's loads of like interesting things about this that we'll get into like as we're talking about it. But kind of my own like Paranormal Activity journey is a bit rocky, because I remember when I watched it for the first time, I must have been like 19, so like 2011. And I was thinking about this in regards to like horror movies in general and how I've kind of like progressed with them. Because I watched this and everyone's like, Paranormal Activity is the scariest thing you've ever seen in your life. And I was like, right, challenge accepted.
Always. If I
And
hear it's the scariest movie ever, I'm like, try me.
I and like I watched it, and there was definitely like bits, particularly ending, I was like, whoa. But it wasn't that scary, and I just kind of like I dismissed it. I was like, I don't like it, and I didn't watch it again until for this, because I've just been like, oh, I don't like Paranormal Activity. But I feel like, I don't know if this is something you could take to your like non-horror watching friends or whatever, but I feel like for years and years, like nothing really scared me. I was kind of the same with like The Exorcist and other films like that. Like, this is the scariest film of all time. And when I went into it as like a challenge, I just didn't enjoy it, because I'm just like, I'm waiting to be frightened. And when that didn't happen, I was just like, well, this is shit. It's like, that's such the wrong attitude to have. Now I have like obviously better media literacy skills and whatnot. It's just like I know what marketing is, and they're trying to get bums on seats, and that's why they're saying it's so scary, and especially around Halloween, like that's what you want. So yeah, like I very much dismissed the franchise for a really long time, and I'm just like kind of kicking myself now. Yeah, what do you think about my word vomit there?
I feel like Paranormal Activity, and I'm kind of a little salty because when it came out in 2007, I was 14. I'm like age 93 to 7. Yeah, I was 14. Okay. So when I was 14, I was raised in a very strict household, couldn't watch horror movies. So I didn't get to really enjoy the, because it was kind of like Blair Witch. It's the way that it took the internet and it's the way it advertised itself. And just like you said, the way it was marketed. So obviously Blair Witch, they marketed these people went missing. Everybody believed it forever until, like Sophia saw Heather on a Subway commercial and was like, what the hell? So, I loved the way that Paranormal Activity was like select. It was very select theaters, and it was like if you like demand to see this in your hometown kind of thing. I demanded it, but I couldn't get anyone to go with me because I had to sneak it because I wasn't allowed to watch those types of movies. So I had to be very careful with who I chose to go with me, so I ended up not being able to go see it in theater. So I was kind of sad about that. But I always wanted to see it. Now I have a cousin who went to see it in theaters, and she's like, it was honestly the scariest thing. She's like, I wish you could have experienced it in the theater because the way it was marketed was that it was real. Now, obviously, Blair Witch was also marketed the same way, but found footage wasn't huge back in 2007, so it was still kind of in its baby years. So people could believe that that was something that was real. Katie and Mika were no names. They were the only two people that were in it. The way that it was filmed makes perfect sense for why. And that's the thing with a found footage movie. You have to have a good reason why you won't not have a camera. Like you have to have a good reason why you're still filming. So Paranormal Activity did that brilliantly. And like you said to bring up fun facts. Fun fact, this film was literally made for $15,000 and it has grossed way, way, way beyond that. And it was filmed in the director's house. He literally only paid Katie and Mika $500 each to do this film. So, so yeah. And it was, I think it was around 2010. It was like 2009, 2010 that I saw it. I loved it. Everything about it. It did freak me out a little bit, but it also wasn't too scary just because I was like, it takes a lot to scare me. It's probably three horror movies in the entire world have ever actually made me not sleep. But it, I just love the way that it was set up because it was like, you never saw the demon. And for me, that makes it way scarier because what's up here in my head is going to be way scarier than what I'm looking at most of the time. So the fact that they never showed it, the fact that they did like little tricks with it, they put a story behind, like Katie's like, this has been following me all my life type of thing. I just thought it was absolutely brilliantly done. And it immediately became one of my favorite found footage films the moment I saw that. And I was like, found footage is going to make a comeback because of this. Paranormal Activity is really going to set the precipice after Blair Witch for found footage, and I really think that it did.
Yeah, 100%. It definitely gave a shot in the heart. And yeah, like when I've revisited it now, like after 13 or so years, like there's so many bits about it that I really appreciate about it, like how it's just about normal people. You feel like you're just watching normal people go about their lives, have this thing happen to them, like you don't recognize Katie or Micah from anything else because this is the first thing that they did. And the way they look and stuff as well, definitely not trying to be disparaging, but they just look like normal people that you would like work with in the office, you would see at the supermarket. Like they don't look like movie stars in quotation marks. And yeah, you just get this feeling that it could be happening to anybody. And that's scary as well because it's like, oh, it could be you. And that's what got me, like the only thing that got me with the first time I watched it all the way back when I was 19, when it says at the end that Katie's still out there. And I went, what? I was like watching it in my like uni dorm on my laptop, and I was straight to Google. I was like, where is this bitch? Like, I
Yeah, I
was so
remember her
scared
talking
she was
about
going
that.
to
She
come
was
after
like,
me.
I love the interview that she did where she, because she lives in California. I don't know if that's where she lives now. No, she, well, yeah, I think she did live in California. I think she's from Texas, if I'm not mistaken. I went down a Katie Featherston rabbit hole because I had like the biggest crush on her. But she would go to like grocery stores, and she said people would look at her, and she's like, I realized when they recognized me, because she said they would like hide their face, or they would start like running because they were like, oh no, like we found her. She's like, I'm glad no one ever really called the cops. Because she's like, she's like, I'm glad no one ever like called the cops on me, or was like, this demon possessed bitch is still out here at this grocery store just picking up eggs. But she did talk about how people would recognize her, and she's like, they would run away from me, they were scared, and she's like, it wasn't real. Just so you're aware, like, that didn't actually happen. But also, I know too, that ending where she's alive at the end was an actually alternate ending. The real ending to the movie itself, she killed herself. So the or I'm sorry, I should say unalived herself. I don't know what this allows, but so in the original ending, she ended up killing Mika, and then she goes upstairs and slits her throat. That's actually the way that the original Paranormal Activity ended. But because it got so much of a huge receiving end, they were like, well, we got to do an alternate ending. We got to make more because, horror movies, we got to make 17. So they ended up doing the alternate ending, and there were actually two different alternate endings. The one alternate ending is the one you saw where she goes at the screen. And then there's actually another alternate ending that I didn't even know about. I found it out on YouTube. Where she, after she kills Mika, she comes upstairs and she sits by the bed and she rocks. And she just keeps rocking for like hours and hours. And then like the video does a time lapse, and then it's daytime, and the cops actually find her in the bedroom and arrest her. So I'm kind of glad they didn't go with that one. I don't really like that ending. I'm glad that the original ending was she ended up unaliving herself. Which kind of goes along with like when you're possessed by a demon type of deal, that's something that happens. But I also liked that they were like, well, we could make more, so let's change the ending to where she lives, which immediately loved how they incorporated it into Paranormal Activity too. So yeah, I thought that that was a really cool thing that they did so much with this film. They really did, and they set it up for the whole series, which to me, 1 through 3 exists and the rest of them don't. But
I was just about to ask you, like, oh, how do you feel about the rest of the franchise? Because whether it was by accident or on purpose, there are little things like nuggets that tell you about like the next two. But yeah, beyond that, I was kind of reading like the spoiler-free descriptions of 2 through 7. And after 3, I'm just like, what is the connection? I don't understand.
So two, have you seen any of them?
No, this is the only one
Okay.
I've seen.
So 2 and 3 are absolutely wonderful. I really think they should have kept it a trilogy. Two focuses on Christy, and I kind of like how, so the way that they're structured, it goes 3, 2, 1, 2. And that makes no sense to you right now, but you'll understand when you watch two, because two happens before one, but it also happens after one. So it's kind of hard to explain. And then the third one focuses on them when they were kids. And I think Paranormal Activity 3 personally is better than 2, but that's just because I really loved the backstory. It really gives you the backstory as to why Katie and Christy have been dealing with this their whole lives. It really goes into, because I remember watching the first one, and she's like, Mika's a day trader and Katie is a student. I'm like, so how on the planet Earth do you afford this house? Like,
I
I'm like, I need, you live in California and you have a gorgeous home, and he's a day trader, and he dropped however much he made that day on that camera, because she said, how much you pay for that? And he said, what I made today. And I'm like, you're a student. What, how did you get this house? And then you end up finding out it was Katie's house. So I'm like, how on the planet Earth is that Katie's house?
think that.
So the second one, Christy, beautiful home, has a husband. His daughter ended up considering Christy a mother, like a stepmother, they end up having a baby hunter. So in the second one, you're getting the backstory as to like what this demon is actually after, which is Hunter. And that's a spoiler, but it's also not. So, you'll understand more when you watch it. I really don't want to give away the third one. But in the third one, you really find out what's actually happening. So, have you seen Hereditary?
Yes, love
Okay,
Hereditary.
so it's the same demon, and that's all I'll tell you. So
Oh.
it is Paimon. So if that kind of gives you a little bit more backstory as to what's actually happening, but I really don't want to tell you what happens in the third one. Now the fourth one wasn't awful. I didn't hate it, but I was like, it didn't need to happen. Nobody asked for this. They just
From
really
the
wanted
description I read,
to.
it's very tenuous. Like somehow, her name just escaped me there. Casey is like living across from this family with a child. I'm like, where did you get a child from?
Which is funny because even after you see the other two, you're going to be like, where did she get this child? So, I'm still trying to figure that out. But yeah, the fourth one isn't terrible. It's worth seeing. It's definitely worth seeing. The fifth one, besides the first three, the fifth one is the best.
All
There
right.
is a way that the fifth one jumps a time loop and takes you back to the first one. And I think that's really cool, the way that they do that. Also, the daughter of Christie's husband in the second one is in the fifth one as well. So they really try to bring it back because they're like trying to open up the paranormal world to make movies. Six is absolute garbage. I don't even think if you didn't watch six, you're not missing anything. Next of Kin didn't need to be a Paranormal Activity movie. That had nothing to do with Paranormal Activity in the slightest. As a movie on its own, it was actually pretty good. It was interesting. It was about these people that were Amish and they were out, like you think that they're Amish, but you end up finding out they're part of it, like a satanic cult, which was actually kind of cool. And I was like, this didn't need to be part of the Paranormal Activity world. It had nothing to do with Katie or Christy or anything like that.
You do hear stories from writers, though, being like they present studio whatever with an original idea, and then it's the studio's idea to like tack a franchise name on it. So I wonder if that is what happened with that.
More than likely, because they know that that's what brings the money in, unfortunately. But Paranormal Activity 6 was absolute garbage. I have no redeeming anything to say about the movie at all. It was awful.
Oh, wow. Well, you're definitely making me want to watch two and three anyway, because yeah, I already was like my interest was kind of piqued because it sounds like Katie's trilogy, and you do get invested in her. I have some thoughts about Micah, but we'll get into that in a bit. But you do get invested in her and why this is happening, because she seems like such a like a nice, like normal lassie, and these terrible things have been happening to her for like 20 years, and you're just like what is going on? And like I said before, like Oren Peli puts all these little like nuggets of information about her background, and you're just kind of like, you do kind of want to know more.
Yeah, definitely watch two before you watch three, because even though the technical order is 3-2-1, you want to watch two before three because it'll help you know Christy more. Because two really focuses on Christy and really gives you more of the story as to why number one even happened. So I highly recommend two and three. Like I said, watch four and five just for the hell of it. Because, like I said, Katie's in four. It just doesn't really, it didn't need to happen. And then five was a whole different family, but it ended up wrapping back to one, which was kind of cool. But yeah, I definitely think it should have just stayed a trilogy, because I was like, I wish they didn't make any more because they always ruin everything, but two and three were actually solid, so I wasn't mad at that at all.
Fair, you've twisted my arm. I want to watch them now to just get the full story. But right, let's get into Paranormal Activity proper.
Mm-hmm.
So, the IMDb plot is, after moving into a suburban home, a couple becomes increasingly disturbed by a nightly demonic presence. As you say, Kristen, this came out in 2007, stars Katie Featherston, Micah Sloat, and Mark Friedrichs. It was written and directed by Oren Peli. I think I said Pell before, sorry, Pelly. And he has also worked on Area 51, the Chernobyl Diaries, and the TV series The River. What's interesting about this as well, when I was looking into it, like, this is the only one where he has like full creative control, Oren Peli. He's just a producer on the rest. He's never really taken up the creative mantle ever again. Do you think that's like a good thing, a bad thing?
I feel like maybe if he would have, it's kind of like the Conjuring films with James Wan. I feel like when James Wan directs, they're better. Because he directed the first two. It's not to throw any shade at the other ones. I do like the other ones, but he directed the first two, and I feel like the first two in the whole Conjuring series are the best two. So it's kind of like him. I feel like if he would have, even though two and three were really good, I feel like if he directed them, which he might, did he direct any of the other ones, or was he just a producer on the other ones?
He was just a producer on the other six.
He was. I feel like if he directed the other ones, they would have been even better, to be honest, because I feel like when a director has an idea and he has full control of it, it shows, especially when they're a good director and they have a good story. But when they just slip down to producer, I feel like it's still good, but it's not as good as it could have been.
I agree. I just find it very curious. Like you say with James Wan, like he did the first two, and like fair enough, you maybe want to give someone else a chance, or maybe you just have other creative projects that you want to do more. But yeah, kind of, if you're going to create something that's going to become a franchise, you do kind of need to helm it for a while, and not just, I'm not going to say abandoned it, but just like give it out to other people. But then it
Well,
also
too, with
wouldn't surprise me if like Paramount was just like, we need someone more experienced.
it wouldn't surprise me either, especially because you know how these places are. But like, he might have, because it wasn't supposed to be a franchise, maybe he was like, I'm a one and done. Like, I'll help on these other ones, but I wasn't really wanting this to become a franchise. So I'm just gonna kind of be a in the background kind of person on these other ones. So maybe that had something to do with it with him.
For sure. So the film opens, and like you said, it's Micah and his brand new camera, and it's like it's a big like muckle thing, so it is, with like a mic on it and a light, and he's said to Katie that he spent like whatever he like earned in trading that day on this. So I mean, like, it could be cost like a couple of thousand, maybe even more than
I'm like,
that.
how much money do you make a day, my dude? Like, what are you actually doing? What is your job? Please tell me.
Well, we
Oh,
get the very obvious like coin net product placement.
I loved
Oh
that. That was funny.
my. So a lot of these opening shots is just very much like establishing Micah and Katie's relationship, like their house, the way in which like they interact with each other. And it would be quite easy, I think, to like brush this off as something a bit mundane. But I feel like with Paranormal Activity, I know you said before that sometimes you just like scroll through your phone and watching it, but if you've never seen this before, like you really need to keep your ears open in this film, because there's so many things that are just dropped casually that are actually really important for the plot. Like Katie talking about her past and how this thing's been following her around since she was 8. And if you're like mind wandered, or if you decided to like check your phone or whatever, you're gonna miss like really important pieces of information. Because
Yeah,
this is film.
the more I watch it, like, if I actually sit and watch it, even to this day, I still find itty bitty little things. Like, if you've never seen it before, definitely don't ever get on your phone. Like, definitely pay attention, because there are even details in their dialogue that you normally wouldn't mean anything if you hadn't seen the whole film before. So like when, especially when the psychic comes over, she talks to him a lot about her history and a lot about her past, and that, like you were saying, that is very important to the story, especially because when she's like, there was a fire at our old house, we lost everything when they were kids. She said there was a fire, you know, we lost almost everything, you know, whatever. And he said, was there ever a determination of what caused the fire? And she said, no. And she's like, no, I'm not saying it was paranormal or ever anything like that. Well, it was. But it's funny because you, when you pick up on those things like that, you're starting to put together what's actually happening. And because I'm such a person who's obsessed with like ghosts and spiritual beings, I already knew it was a demon because I was like, demons follow you, ghosts don't, for the most part. So I already knew when she was like, yeah, it's been following me around, it doesn't matter if I move, and I'm like, well, that's not good.
Indeed, it is not. I also just like how we get to know Katie and Micah here as well. Like, they seem to have, and certainly in the beginning anyway, as the film goes on, I'm kind of, I think Micah loves Katie, but he doesn't always speak to her very nicely, I don't think.
Oh, when I was younger and I first watched this movie, I liked him. I was like, he's a great boyfriend. After growing as a person and taking therapy and seeing gaslighting and knowing what that is, and, you know, certain tools of manipulation, emotional abuse, Mika sucks. Like, Mika's a terrible, terrible person because Katie is literally, and for him to be like, well, like blaming her, well, you could have told me on like the fifth date or like the 14th date that this was happening, and I'm like, shut the fuck up. Like, you're not helping the situation at all.
There was just so many times he'd be talking, and I'd just be like, people's elbow right to the face, like, just wanted to get rid of this person so much because, yeah, it's like gaslighting behavior, and he's just like very dismissive of things. And I was thinking about it in terms of like, if you're someone who's dating somebody else and maybe you have like a physical or a mental illness and you have to have certain things in place at home, and for whatever reason, and you start going out with someone and you invite them into your home and you're just like, I need this to be this way because of this thing that I have. And that's just the way it is. And they are just like, well, that's stupid. Or like start making fun of you for that, or like gaslighting. Oh, I think that's stupid. I know a better way of doing it, blah, blah, blah. And you've been living with this thing for however many years. And you're just like, no, this is how things need to be. And to have someone come into your space and just be like, no, that's not right, it's so frustrating. And the way Micah like comes in to this situation, and it's just like, well, you never told me, so I couldn't prepare. And then just assumes throughout the whole film that he knows best. He gets angry with Katie for being like, oh, I think we need to bring in a demonologist later on. And it's just like, who are you, Micah? Like, where did you train? Are you Ed and Lorraine Warren? No. So how do you
Not to
think that?
mention in the part, like, it's her house. He moved in with her, even though he goes, it's my house, I'm gonna fix the problem. I'm like, it's not actually. It's actually Katie's house. You moved in with her, and you're like, it's my house, I'm gonna fix the problem. And I'm like, I know we haven't gotten there yet, but I love when she gives it to him. She's like, you haven't done anything. If you think you're in control, you're not, you think you're an idiot. But the camera hasn't helped. Your stupid little footprint thing hasn't helped. And she just goes off on him. And he's like, nah. And I'm like, dude, shut up. You haven't done anything but make it worse. And if
That's
anything, he's like, especially the Ouija board thing. The gaslighting of the Ouija board thing, where he goes, I didn't go out and buy one, I borrowed it. I was like, you are 12. You are actually 12.
That's why I think I love Katie so much. Like, she's very kind and compassionate. Like, she takes Micah's feelings and stuff into account, and she feels bad about things that aren't even her fault. But she's also very direct. Like, when she's not happy about something, she just says it. And like, I really like that about her, but I just wish she would get to the point where she just dumps him because
Well, I
he's
mean,
not
I
a
guess
good
technically she
guy.
kind of does.
Well, I don't know. I mean, talking about dead in a relationship, you know, like.
She kind of does dump him. In a way.
So, like, Micah being the worst boyfriend ever, like, we get these little nuggets of information. She meets this psychic, and he is just like, before the psychic even comes over, he's like, "Can I play this music?" And it's like this really stereotypical, like, ooky spooky music. And she's just like, "No, you fucking child, you can't do that." And Dr. Friedrichs, like, ascertains that she thinks that she's haunted by a demon and tries to put her in touch with a demonologist. So for whatever reason, like, Micah's like against this, and he's like, "Oh, I have all these ideas," and kind of like sticks with the camera. I think the camera's like good because obviously it's like picking up stuff that they like, how could you prove all these things were going on without the camera? And I know that's a thing we were kind of saying before. Sometimes with found footage, you kind of have to suspend your disbelief as to why there's a camera in the first place. But I feel like capturing the proof is like really good here. Also, as well, actually, I was thinking about it in terms of this film, because kind of some of the more modern found footage that I've reviewed on Girlfriends has been like Deadstream and Chad Gets the Axe, and it's like younger people live streaming, like social media. And it's interesting, like, I feel like one of the criticisms of this back in the day was like, "Oh, you just wouldn't film your life that much." Fast forward to 2024, people are filming their lives that much. They just do it every day for no reason.
I feel like a lot of people did back in the day too, especially with kids. They like to film a lot with kids, because I just know my dad used to do that. My dad would sometimes literally just pull out a camera and videotape me when I was a kid back in the 90s. So, but you really got to have that reason. I really feel like if you have a good idea for found footage and you have a good idea why the camera is on, you can make a really good film. But it's like some of these found footage, it's like, why are you still holding the camera at this point? Like, why aren't you just dropping the camera and running, or stuff like that? That's why I love the way that Paranormal Activity is set up, because there is a reason the camera's on. And it's not just, well, why the fuck are you still using this camera? Like, leave the camera. I mean, even Katie gets on Mika quite a bit. She's like, "Would you stop following me with the camera?" So even Katie's like, "You have a love affair with this camera."
And I think that's what makes it like so real as well, because you would get fucked off. Like, if all these things are happening, you're already frustrated, and then your annoying boyfriend with this ginormous piece of equipment is following you around day and night. I would be like, "Fuck off, like, leave me alone as well."
Like, if I wanted a camera in my face 24/7, I'd be on a reality TV show. Like, please get out of my face.
Exactly. So the kind of real, like, horror, like, spooky aspect of this happens during the night shoots. So when Katie and Micah go to bed, this is where a lot of like the spooky things are happening. I can just say as well, when I was watching this, I'm like, these people don't get enough sleep. They're going to bed at like 1:30 in the morning, waking up at 6:15. Like, it's not enough
Yeah,
sleep.
no, not at all. Which is another way that they actually were like, demons will work to break you down. So that was a big thing where they were like, a demon will legitimately get you to your wit's end, to where you can't take it anymore, and then they possess you. That's why it was like beating Katie down, like no sleep, constantly scaring her, negativity between her and Mika. And it feeds on all of that stuff. So her not getting enough sleep was definitely part of the reason. Like they're very patient. So they work very hard to beat you down to the point where you just have no more defenses, and then by that point they possess you.
Wow.
Fun fact. Terrifying fun fact.
So there's a real, like, I don't know if you can say slow escalation. Is that an oxymoron? It kind of like increases slowly throughout the film. Like you'll just see like lights going on and off, or like I think at one point the keys are in the wrong place. Keys are on the floor and they should be on the side. You're just like, oh, what's going on? That's a bit weird. And I love this, like, how, like, it gets like braver as time gets on. Like you say, like, as Kate is getting more and more worn down, like, the demon's getting bolder and bolder with what it's doing and what's being captured on film. Is there, like, a particular point in these, like, night shoots that's, like, one of your favorites, like, one that freaked you out the most?
Two in particular. The one that actually kind of freaked me out was because I wasn't expecting it. It was a good jump scare. It was the night where it was really quiet and then you hear the scream. Like you hear the demon scream and then hits the wall, is what it sounds like, I'm guessing, because you don't see anything. And then they freak out and they go downstairs and like the chandeliers moving and stuff like that. That part kind of freaked me out only because I wasn't expecting it. It was a good jump scare. But my favorite night would have to be when it drug her out of bed. That was terrifying. Like that, I don't know how they did that. Kudos to however they were able to film that because that was amazing. But I'm like, I remember literally saying, absolutely the fuck not. Like while I was watching that, I was like, because in the night before, if you really look, you can see it moving her foot. And then the next night it just takes the cover off and it just drags her and she's just screaming. And I'm like, imagine an invisible force dragging you out of your bed to another room. No, absolutely not.
Yeah, like that one gets me as well. Like any film depicting like someone being like dragged by the feet, it's that feeling of like powerlessness, because if someone's got a hold of your ankles, you can't kick and you're too far away to like hit. So it's like you're fucked. Like they're dragging you off to do whatever they want to do with you, and that's terrifying. But I think
That
as
night
well.
too that they I don't remember which night it was. There's so many nights. But the one night where he ends up going upstairs and finding that picture of Katie when she was a kid, did you notice it was burned on the edges? Because that was like bringing back to what we were saying, like little plot things to do with the plot. Like she said, our house burned down when we were a kid. We lost everything. Well, that picture, she's like, what in the hell is this doing in our attic? Because it was a picture of her as a child and it had burnt ends. So it's like, how in the fuck did this demon get a hold of this picture? Unless it had something to do with the fire.
I love that part, because again, if you don't listen to the fact that her house burned down, like they lost everything, but this burned picture is in the attic of this house, like it's freaky. You know it's something paranormal, it's like demony that's doing it. I love that part as well. It's so freaky.
That picture is also important. Just remember that. It comes up again.
So kind of one of the most like infamous shots in this film, I feel like, is when Katie it like gets up, stands by the bed for hours, and that's also really like freaky as well, because it's like she's just stood there like staring. It's so eerie, but then it's also weird as well. There's been studies done about how like people can like sense when people are staring at them. Like it's like a caveman days thing, like to be wary of like predators and stuff. So I'm like, I don't know how he didn't wake up. Like, how did he not know? Or is that the demon as well?
It could have been both. It could have been the fact that he was just so absolutely exhausted that he was just out. Or it could have had something to do with the power that the demon had over him by that point, because it was getting stronger by the point that it possessed her enough to be able to stand up and stare at him for like hours on end. And then also, if you noticed, most of the time when the demon did stuff, it was at the witching hour. It was usually around 3 a.m., which was another, sign that it's a demon. But yeah, I don't like that part. I don't like that she just stands there and stares at him. I'm like, no. If I woke up and saw my partner staring at me like that, I would just ever so slightly, just quietly and quickly, just leave. I would just get everything and be like, not today, Satan, and then just leave.
So yeah, she then like goes down the stairs, she's sat outside, and then Mika like realizes she's not in the bed, finds her outside. Katie's like quite insistent on staying outside, so he goes in to get her a blanket because it's like the middle of the night, it's cold. And then all of a sudden she's back up the stairs. Oh, I'm going to my bed. And it like And it's a weird shift, and I don't think it's like until after she gets into bed, you're just like, oh, we've actually been speaking to the demon. Like, he's actually been filming the demon. He's not been filming Katie. Because the next day, she does not have a clue what he's talking about.
No, she's like, where the fuck am I going? And then she's like, I don't remember anything. I remember you pointing a camera at me. And that was literally all she remembered. And like you said, we watched her go downstairs. We watched him talk to her. And she's like, did I talk to you? And he's like, I mean, it wasn't really talking. You were in this like catatonic state. And then like also, I think when she appeared at the top of the stairs, I think the TV was on. I think the TV
Yeah, the
switched as
telly was on
well.
as well.
Yeah. So, and then he starts getting freaked out by that point because she's like under the blankets and she's like, I'm cold. And he's like, what the fuck is happening? Like, even Mika at this point is like, how do you not? He's like, how do you not remember that? And she's like, I don't know, but when you're possessed, you don't remember. So.
Yeah, exactly. So there'd been a prior conversation about getting a Ouija board. And, Kay's like, promise me you will not buy a Ouija board. And he's like, you can even see then he's like, fine. Like absolutely raging about it. But then he brings home a Ouija board and Kay's understandably going absolutely nuts. Like, you promised you wouldn't do that. And like an absolute child, he's like, I borrowed it, I didn't buy it. Right
And
then.
the way she reacted is the way I would have reacted. I don't fuck with Ouija boards. That is like a
Absolutely
boundary I have
not.
where I'm like, no, I don't care if it's used. I don't care if it's not used. I don't want it in my house. I don't want it near me. I don't even like being near them in stores. That's how adamant I am about them. And it's so funny to me when she goes, you promised me you wouldn't get a Ouija board, and then you go out and get the best fucking looking Ouija board I've ever seen. And then he's like, babe, whoa. And she's like, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to. And she's like stomping. And then, at that point, you see the fire start on the Ouija board and the wind in like the living room. And I was like, see, this is what she's talking about, you dumbass. And then they get home and he's like, oh, something's on the Ouija board. And she's like, I don't want to know. I don't give a fuck what that thing says on the Ouija board. And then he's like, oh, she's pissed. And I'm like, you're an idiot. Like, you're actually a child. You're a man child, truly.
I have very similar feelings to you about Ouija boards. Like, I don't have, I've never felt anything in this house, in this flat that I'm in now, but yeah, no, don't invite that shit in your gaff. Like, absolutely not. And then it like burns, like, I don't know if it's trying to burn a drawing or something into it. But we also see it. I don't. It comes out later, like what name it is that they're actually doing.
Diane.
But yeah, it the Planchette. I have one of those tattooed on me. I should know what it's called. The planchette spells out Diane, we find out later on. But then also like burns a picture. Like, is that something that's relevant later on? Do you
I'm
know?
gonna be honest with you. That's actually something I should Google right now because now that you're saying that, I have never figured out what was on the Ouija board besides the fact that it
Yeah.
spelled out Diane. So give me one second. Because I'm like, it does look like something's on it.
Yeah.
Okay, during the film, Mika translates the message as Diane. However, the pointer would have to move left to reach D. So the first move makes it clearly to the right. It spells out Mika and then goes to goodbye, and then the board catches fire. So that's actually new
Oh.
information to me, and that's insane.
Oh my God, that's so good.
That's amazing. I love it. I love that. So yeah, that was even a fun fact for me.
Wow.
So that's really cool, 'cause yeah, there that one scene where he hears something break into that picture, and it's only on his face.
And the scratches. See, even the demon hates Micah. Like, we
I
can't all
mean,
be
you know,
wrong.
the demon's like, I can treat her better. We just need to rid of this man child.
So obviously things were really frosty between Micah and or Mika rather, and Katie, and
I
he
feel like
brought.
that's what really set everything in motion. Number one, him doing the Ouija board, which obviously the Ouija board is like a door,
Yeah.
basically inviting it in. And then secondly, the negativity that that caused between Mika and Katie
Yeah.
really set the demon forward because that's when everything started getting a lot worse.
Yeah. Yeah. Which again, another PSA for not fucking with Ouija boards, because it could have, well, it wouldn't have gotten better, but it wouldn't have got this bad if they hadn't done that. Because it is just literally saying knock knock come in to a demon, and why would you invite that shit into your house?
It's because a
Like,
lot of people genuinely think they're talking to a loved one because I know when you lose somebody that you really care about, you want to talk, you'd do anything to talk to them
yeah.
again. But I'm like, demons are master manipulators. They
Yeah.
can mimic. So more than likely, no. Like a friend of mine wanted me to go to the Conjuring house with her, like for real, like the real one. And I said, absolutely not. And she said, I'm like, I will ghost hunt anywhere. But if there is a demon, I cannot put myself or my family at risk because they will follow me. Like that's just, I'm an empath. They attach very easily. So when I ghost hunt stuff, I'm always very cautious. So I'm like, I'm not gonna willingly walk into a house that has a demon.
Yeah.
So she's like, well, she watched this video where this guy talked to his grandma at the Conjuring house. And I'm like,
Why the fuck would your granny be there?
unless
Like,
she was like attached to him, which is possible. Like if you have a loved one who's passed and they're that close to you, it could be. But I'm like, also, you're in a house with a master manipulative, very powerful demon. So more than likely it wasn't your grandma. And I'm like, I know that that made her emotional because she also misses her grandma, and I get that. But
yeah.
I'm like, if you want to go, be so careful, but I'm like, I cannot put myself at risk for that because I
Yeah.
don't fuck with demons. I don't care. I won't go to like a place. The place is called Bobby Mackey's. I don't know if you've heard of Bobby Mackey's. That's in
No.
Kentucky. Ghost Adventures did a few episodes about it. It's very haunted, very demonic. Absolutely will not go there. So like, if I am aware of a demon or a demonic presence at a place, I don't care where it is, I will not willingly walk into it. I would love to see the Conjuring house in person, but you won't catch me within 500 feet of that house.
Do you know what? Google's free. Just like Google
So right,
it.
I'll look at images on Google, thank you.
Yeah. Keep yourself safe. Google's free. It's all good. After this, like, they watched the footage back They see that the Ouija board caught fire, which again, like, red flag. And Micah like figures out wrongly, as we've just realized, like if what the demon was trying to say on the Ouija board. And Kate is like, it's time to phone the demonologist, like, come on now. And he's very just like, no, like we're not doing that. And he develops this weird attitude at this point in the film, although it starts to make more sense that it's probably actually demon influence rather than Micah, perhaps, and just being
I don't
like,
know. I think it was just Mika having a god complex. I
oh,
think
probably.
he
It's
was just
just,
because, you know, you see bits and pieces of who he is as a person, and he's just this I'm better than anybody else kind of attitude. And like he wants control over everything. And I feel like it was all Mika, honestly. Like the way that he was acting, I really feel like it was all him.
I mean,
Because I'm like,
like,
he seems like a bit of a dick, anyways.
yeah, I mean, it's really only through our chat about demons. I thought maybe it's a demon, but the whole time I have just thought it's him. And, you know, just kind of thinking to myself, if there is a God in heaven, please give me the audacity and the confidence of a mediocre man. Because the way he was carrying on, it's too much. Like, he really did think he was like Ed and Lorraine Warren, like, I'm going to deal with this. And it's like, no. Not that Ed and Lorraine Warren are particularly good people, but they're
My
the
only
most
thing was I
famous
was trying to figure out
demonologists I
why
know.
I was trying to figure out why he thought that doing the footprint thing would help. I never
That's what I
understood.
thought. And it's just like, I don't know what he was trying to achieve there. It's like, yeah, it's more proof that there's something in the house, but it's like, what were you going to do? Like, get a big net out and catch it. Like,
I know, I love how Katie's like, okay, what are you gonna do? And he's just
yeah.
sitting there staring at the screen and she's like, what are you gonna do? And she's like, I know what we're gonna do. We're gonna call the demonologist. And she's like, you've had your fun, you've had your, and he's still reluctant to it. And I was like,
Yeah.
you're literally stupid. Like, you need to get this man out of the house. He's clearly making this. I don't think it would have escalated the way it would have had he not been involved.
Yeah, exactly, 'cause he's just so pig-headed about the whole thing, and he's just like, I'm gonna fix this. You're my girlfriend, and it's my house, even though it's not. I'm gonna fix this, and it's just like, girl, why are you being so stubborn? Like, stop it. It's also after the powder footprints that we find the photo in the attic. Which kind of like escalates that situation even more because we see the prints coming in. There's no footprints coming out. I think they're coming from the attic as well. So it's just hanging out in the bedroom, which we already know seems to be the place where most of the paranormal activity is happening. Yeah, and then in the morning, Kate's very like, we're phoning the fucking demonologist.
And then he couldn't get there until, like, what did she say? It was like the next week. He
Yeah,
couldn't get there.
he's on his holidays, or he's out the country. I'm assuming he's on his holidays. But he's
Yeah,
out
and
the
she's like, he
country,
can't get here.
unavailable.
So she's like, if we can make it till then, and Mika's like, well, what do you mean if we can make it till then? And I was like, you have no idea what this thing is capable of. Not even a clue.
And it's as well, like at this point, you know, we find out the demonologist is out of the country. They phone Dr. Friedrichs again, the psychic, and he just takes like one step in the door and he's like, get me out of here. Like, this thing hates me. I need to go now. He's like, I'm making it angry. And even that, like, you would be like on the back foot a little bit, like, oh, like if this guy who is like an expert on this stuff won't even spend 2 minutes in this house, then like there's something going on here. But even then, like, Mike is still a bit like, oh, that psychic's so stupid, isn't he? And it's just like, no, babe, no.
Isn't that when they decided to get a hotel for that night?
So that night is the night that Katie's pulled out the bed, and it's the
Oh, that's
following
right. And then it's
morning.
the then they decide they want to go to the hotel because it got so bad.
Yeah.
And then what was crazy too is He's like, we're not spending one fucking night more night in this house. And then he's like, are you ready to go? And she's clasping a crucifix like as hard as she fucking can. That's making her hand bleed. And then Mika, being the very smart boyfriend that he is like, I've had enough of this shit, and throws the cross in the fire and burns it.
It's like, surely
I
the
was like,
demon's
that's
gonna
exactly what
love
you don't
that.
do. If you have a demon, you don't burn anything that represents God. Like, you're. Anyway, so he takes her upstairs to rest. And then when he goes and gets her, because he's like, hey, put the car's packed up, let's go. This is the demon possessing her. And she goes, I don't want to leave. And you can tell it's not her. Like, if you really look at her face, it's like weirdly distorted a little bit in her eyes. And she's like, no, I want to stay here. And he's like, what the fuck are you talking about? And she's like, no, I want to stay here. We're okay. And I was like, that's not Katie.
It's that dialogue as well of we're okay, and she it's not talking about her and Micah, it's Katie and the demon. They're okay.
Right.
And I'm just like, it's so clever. And then when Micah leaves, like accepting that they're staying for the night, it's just this like smile that comes across her face. And I'm just like, oh, chef's kiss. Like that was
I
so
know,
well
it was
done.
so creepy. I didn't care for that. I loved it, but didn't care for it at the same time. I'm like, I don't care for that. But yeah, that's the night it all goes to hell, because that's when she completely is possessed and she gets up from bed, stares at him for a minute. Actually, I think it's more like 2 hours. But then she walks downstairs and starts just blood curdling, screaming.
Oh my God, does that not
And the
just
way
like
that
get
man got out
you?
of bed, I'm like, at least he cares, I guess.
Yeah, that's
But
the thing. I think he does love her, but he does not treat her correctly at all. But
no.
I think you could say that for a lot of cishet relationships, honestly.
I'm like, are straight people okay?
No,
Are straight people okay? Because I'm not on straight talk at all, like TikTok wise, and I sometimes will see straight videos, like people will talk about them, and I'm like, you guys okay? Y'all not you're not okay. But yeah, he runs down to help her, and then you hear him scream, and then it's deadpan quiet, and then you're like, oh, guess he's dead. And then she throws him at the camera, and then we talk about the different alternative endings, where the biggest ending is the one where she throws him at the camera, goes over to his body, sniffs him, and then her face goes into the camera and it's all distorted. So that's the most popular ending, honestly, because they had to leave it open for the rest of them.
I think like when I watched it at the time, I did end up looking up the other endings, and like you say, like I don't know which one would be my favorite. Like you say, this one leaves it open-ended. Like obviously this went to, I think it was like Scream Fest. Paramount was just like saw the dollar signs and like got them to change the ending, which is fair enough. They want to make money. That's kind of part of their job. But So then yeah, I remember the first time I watched it, like this ending scared me because obviously you just out of nowhere see this body hurtling towards the camera, and then she's like smiling all creepy. And then it comes up with the epilogue, like Micah's body was found like 5 days later. Katie's whereabouts are unknown. I was like, stop the fucking bus. It's right on Google. And I was like, Katie Featherstone, where is she? And then I found out it was all fake. And I was like, I was born to hook, line, and sinker. Like
You're
an
like,
idiot.
where is this
I
bitch?
was.
Where is she? I'm like, if I was her, I would have played into that too. If someone would have met eyes with me at like the grocery, I would have been like, and then just like creepily stared and watched them scream in terror.
What do you think about films that do the whole, like, this is a true story, but it's not actually a true story? Like, with Fargo, I get it's very tongue-in-cheek at this point, particularly with the series, but some horror films use it and it's not entirely true.
Well, for the horror films that are not found footage, the ones that are loosely based on a true story, most of the time I like them. The Strangers is a great example. It did not happen the way that the movie portrayed it, but it was very loosely based on a real story. The real story is pretty fucking terrifying. But it's like, you know, I like the fact that they do that. Now, for found footage, and it's like in my podcast, we've talked about found footage a lot because it is one of mine and Becky's favorite genres under the horror genre. There's a realness to it. There's a realness to found footage that I don't think other films have because, like I said, if you've got a good plot, you have a reason for holding the camera. You've got gold because there is such a realness to found footage. Because number one, most of the time, people that are in found footage, you have no idea who they are. Most of them are no names. Most of them are just people like you and me that happen to know somebody that has a camera that they're like, you know what? I have an idea for a horror film. Let's make this. So that's one of the things what I love about found footage because it makes it feel so real. Because you're behind the lens of a camera. It's very POV, and I love that. So I personally love that Blair Witch, Paranormal Activity, so many others, Phoenix Forgotten, which is one that is based on the Phoenix Lights that happened. Even one of the movie that actually scared the fucking shit out of me, and the one that still holds that title is Fourth Kind. The way that that movie was made into a found footage documentary style film, where they had people, real actors and actresses, play the like the reenactments, but they had the real people being interviewed. Brilliant. Just absolutely brilliant the way that they did that. That movie scared me shitless. I didn't sleep for a week, but I love that they do that because, like I said, there is such a surreal type of thing about those types of films because anybody can grab a phone, you can hit record, and you can start filming anything at any time, and it's like it makes it feel more like it's a real thing.
Yeah, for sure. Like when I was saying before about how sometimes with found footage it can be hard to believe that someone's holding the camera, and I feel like that are kind of about Cloverfield. I don't know why it took me so long to say that sentence. And it's kind of mentioned in the film at certain points, like, why are you still filming? And the guy's just like, oh, this is like an absolute world-changing event, like someone needs to document it. And as much as I love Cloverfield, it is really fucking weird that this guy is cutting about with a camera the whole time. Like, it's very unrealistic. So yeah, I think it does help when it's like, right, we have a reason to have a camera. Like with the other found footage films that I've reviewed on Girlfriends, Grave Encounters, you know, it's under the guise of a TV show. Creep. It's like this guy's hired this other guy to film a video because he's dying of cancer. Deadstream and hashtag Chad gets the axe. It's social media live streaming. So it all makes sense. So I think that does help because it is one of those like Marmite genres, isn't it? Like some people love it and some people just hate it.
It's because it's so hit or miss with found footage. You either have a masterpiece or you have garbage. Like, I feel like there's really not, there's kind of in between found footage films, but you don't hit them very often. Most of the time, I either absolutely love them or I'm like, that wasn't good at all. So, like, I love the VHS films. I think VHS, the way that they have that set up, where they found this old house with VHS tapes, and that's the reason these people, like, every single one has a camera for a different reason. Like, and it's like anthology. I am such a whore for anthology films. I love when they're done correctly. I love them. I absolutely love them. So like, yeah, when and I hate when you said that about Cloverfield. I hate when they give you the reason they're holding the camera in the movie. I'm like, I don't need you to tell me. I need it to make sense before you tell me.
Exactly. Because yeah, like in Cloverfield, like you would have put the camera down at the party and just been running for your life. And then it's just the guy behind the
Exactly.
camera is the worst thing in the whole film. He's so annoying. But that's for another review. But yeah, yeah, it's very hit or miss. But
Paranormal Activity is an absolute hit. At like it's just it's one of the best found footage films that have been made, and I really truly feel like it holds. However, how many years later? 10, 16 years later, it still holds. And it's still super good.
Have you got anything else you want to say about Paranormal Activity before we get into box office and ratings?
I think I said everything I remembered that was all fun facts and all of that. I think I did all of that. So I think I still can't believe they only got paid $500 each to do that
I can't
movie.
believe
I
that
like.
either. I hope they got a little percentage of the absolute ginormous box office afterwards, because oh my God, like it wouldn't have been the same without them. So
Yeah, absolutely.
in terms of budgets, Kristen said earlier that it was made on a 15K budget. So the original production was 15K, and then once Paramount acquired the rights, they put in an additional 200K for post-production. So that's when we got the alternative ending. And then it made 193.3 million at the box office. Like, I remember as well, just the budget and stuff like got a lot of media attention, because horror is one of those genres where you can make a film for nothing and make absolute bank off of it. You can't really do that in other genres, but you can make very successful, very low budget horror films.
I feel like found footage definitely allows that for horror too. Because I know a lot of people who have ventured. I know this one guy we interviewed, he literally made a trilogy off his phone, his
What?
iPhone, and it's
Wow.
good. And they're good. I'm terrible. I'm trying to remember the name of the film. Oh my God. But anyway, he made it off his iPhone. And he made a trilogy, and they're amazing. They're absolutely incredible films. And I'm like, he's like, I made that on my iPhone. And I was like, what? You just went out and made movies on your iPhone, and it's really good movies.
Wow, that's insane. But people are so creative. Like, I would never even think to do
Right?
that.
I'm like, no, I probably wouldn't know what to. I like the. I'm more into the musical cinematography aspect of films than I am actually writing something.
Yeah. So in terms of ratings, I'm like semi convinced that like some of these are wrong, but I'm just gonna say them as how I found them. So on IMDb, it's got a 3 point, not 3.6, a 6.3 out of 10. I can't read. On Rotten Tomatoes, it's got an 83% with the critics, but only a 57% with the audience. I was a bit confused by that. A lot of people love Paranormal Activity. That's why I'm like, I think that's wrong. So take that with a pinch of salt. And it's got 2.9 on Letterboxd. But
I think that has a lot to do with people not liking found footage. A lot of horror fans don't like found footage. And a lot of horror fans don't appreciate Paranormal Activity for what it is. Like for what it was of its time and for what it truly is, because I feel like Blair Witch gave the baton to Paranormal Activity. Blair Witch walked so Paranormal Activity could run,
Yeah,
type
for
of deal.
sure.
And Paranormal Activity ran so many others could run too. So I feel like Paranormal Activity is such a cult classic where it's like, if you don't like it, you don't like it. But if you love it, you absolutely love it.
Is that way, like, even what, like, after the first time I watched it and I didn't like it, like, I always respected it because it's like, how could you not when, like, it is made on a shoestring and made all of that money? Like, you kind of had to. And I bought one, like, when I was younger, I'd be like, this is shit, that's shit. But now that I'm a bit mature, like, I'm not really like that. Like what you like, I don't care. Like, you know what I mean?
Right?
It's none of
Exactly.
my business.
Oh,
But with that being said, Kristen, what would you rate Paranormal Activity out of 10?
10. Like easy. I have a few horror movies that are 10. And to me, Paranormal Activity is absolute perfection. There is nothing I would change. There is nothing I would redo. I think Mika had to be an ass for the movie to make sense. And I just think it's absolutely brilliant. Every single thing that they did in that film made sense. And when you watch two and three, you'll appreciate the first one even more for what it is. And it's just one of those pieces of cinematic things for me that I think is just perfect.
I'm gonna rate it a 7. I feel a bit more up on it after talking to you, I'm not gonna lie, because there was at certain points, just for me, maybe I'm just, I don't know, maybe I just need like shiny things to keep my attention at all times. But there was some of the like quieter moments of the film, like I did feel myself kind of mind wandering a bit, and then when something exciting happened, like bringing it back in. But like I said, like there is something you just have to respect about Paranormal Activity, all the work that went into it. And when you talk about it with someone like yourself, Kristen, it's like there's all these things about it. You're just like, actually, there's so much thought has gone into this. This is actually so much more well done than I ever thought in the first place. Like, Oren Peli's like done an absolute blinder with this, and I hope he's enjoying all the riches from the franchise because he deserves it, because this was just such a home run, really, wasn't it?
You're also talking to somebody who's obsessed with found footage and who has watched an ungodly amount of found footage, who will sit through the most boring shit just to see if it goes anywhere. Because 9 times out of 10, found footage doesn't get exciting until the last 15 minutes. So most of the time, you have to sit through the boring shit to get somewhere. So that's one of the reasons why I'm able to take the slow, because I'm like, maybe the payoff is going to be good. So I get it's not for everybody. And I get that found footage isn't for everybody, because I'm like, it is 9%, 90% of the time, found footage for the first 45 to an hour and 15 minutes, nothing is happening. So I totally get why that's not everybody's cup of tea.
Yeah, it's like different strokes for different folks. There's a, you know, I'm not a bad person for not loving it as much as
No,
you. Hopefully you don't
no.
think I
Oh God, no. No,
am.
and that's the thing. Like, I tell people all the time, I'm like, you know, there's movies out there that you love that I don't like. I love the diversity. I love being able to debate with people about horror movies. I love being able to have the different opinions. And, because if we have the same opinion, then world would be absolutely boring.
Exactly.
Like, I
That's what
know not
I.
everybody loves found footage like I do. I don't even know how I got into it as hard as I did, to be quite honest with you. Because there are some I've watched where I'm like, that was rough.
One of the few films I've ever turned off before finishing it was a found footage, Quarantine, the US remake of Wreck.
Wreck is really good, but
Wreck's
Quarantine,
amazing.
no.
Yeah.
Rough. Very rough to watch.
Indeed. Thank you so much for coming on. This has been so great. I was a bit worried about doing this film just because the very first time I watched it, I really didn't like it. But I'm like, You've convinced me. I'm like, I'm into it now. Like, I want to watch
Well,
the
you need to message me when you watch the other two, because I want to hear what you think about the other two, the two and the two and three. But yeah, I really appreciate you reaching out and having me on. Anytime you want to talk about films, I'm all about it. I love talking about films with you. So anytime you want me to come on, I will.
Oh, thank you. I will definitely be reaching out again. Kristen, where can people find you online?
So I am at Chucky Side Chick on Twitter, Instagram, and Blue Sky, which is, if you guys don't know about that, it's the new kind of quote unquote Twitter. I am also at for my podcast at Don't Fuck With The Original DFWTO podcast, Twitter, Instagram, I'm sorry, X, Instagram. I don't have a Blue Sky for that one yet, but I do have a Facebook. And then you can find us on Spotify and iTunes. And then if you make sure to type in the apostrophe T for Don't Fuck With The Original, otherwise you won't find it, because you can't just put DONT. It has to be DON apostrophe T.
Spotify loves grammar.
Yes. Apparently.
you can find me at Hyatt's Lindsay underscore on all social media. You can find the podcast at Girlfriend Pod on Twitter. I still call it Twitter. I'm like, Elon Musk dead names his children, so I'm dead naming his website.
I know,
I
I'm like, it's Twitter, it's not whatever X is.
don't care. And girlfriends underscore podcast on Instagram. I'll be back next week with Nina, who's been on the podcast before, and we're looking at Gonjiam Haunted Asylum. I've probably said that wrong. Have you? I've never seen this before, and I'm actually really struggling to find it in the UK. I think I'm gonna have to get a VPN.
It's very hard to find. I think I found it on Tubi, maybe. And make sure if you do, you get it subtitled, because it's in another language. So
It's a key
it's good.
horror.
It's found footage. It's good.
I'm
It's
looking
actually
forward
pretty good.
to it. I'm looking forward to it. I think I'm just gonna get a VPN because I've seen a few US places where you can stream it, and I have them in the UK, so hopefully I can just stream it on my TV with a VPN. But sounds very complicated for a wee technophobe like me, but we'll be fine. We'll be fine. So until then, stay spooky.